Roundtable is gathered as we talk about Sunday's game between the Browns and the Giants. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Tom, I want to start with this idea that we're four games into it. What do we know about the Browns, other than the fact that they're 0-4? But what can we say we know about this team? Has it defined itself in any way with as young as it is this far?
No, I don't think there's really a stamp of definition on this team yet. I think that's what it's searching for still. I do think, though, that we can definitively say that they've got a nice-looking young quarterback who seems to be progressing every week. We seem to identify a pretty darn good running back. I think this defense has shown some depth, has shown some ability to get the ball turned over. There's still a lot of holes. There's still a lot of growing that needs to be done. But I think after 4 weeks, I can safely say that some progress is being made. Not in the win column yet.
Right.
But I think if it continues at this rate, those will come.
Doug, everybody talks about team identity, and maybe it's an overused phrase. But as we look at this Browns team, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, can you, as a club with so much youth, truly say you have an identity? And in regard to how they've played, Phil Dawson's done his usual Phil Dawson thing. The defense certainly looks like it's pretty good and up to the standard or close to the standard of a year ago. And we're seeing progress on offense. But is there any single thing that jumps out at you that says, yeah, this is the identity of the Browns?
No, I think, talking to Ozzie Newsome many years ago, he used to say, you really don't know what your roster is like until about four games into the season. And, I think with all the young people, this roster you're not going to know maybe six, eight weeks into the season because, you've got to get people to start making plays. And I think, the biggest problem to me so far has been the inability to catch the football. And that has made the running game suffer because, people are going to load the box till you start catching the football. It's not going to keep the offense on the field, so your defense is going to be out there longer.
Right.
And it has a chain reaction throughout the team. And we've got some young people, and I think, listening to coaches, Gordon really stepped it up this week.
Yeah.
Now you got to take it from, here to the playing field on Sunday and, make it work there. I think what we've seen is a bunch of young people that play hard. And as long as you play hard and you don't make the same mistakes twice, you've got a bright future. And, I think we're finding out there's certain things that are a little weaker than maybe we thought, and there's certain things that are maybe going to be stronger than we thought. But, as we watch the Giants and, we watch Philadelphia and we see how their defensive lines are built, we're seeing the same thing built here.
Right.
And, that's what you got to do. The NFL today is rotation. I mean, Butch Davis, I think, started down in Dallas when he was a defensive line coach there. But that's the key. As far as, the offense, the offensive line, it's held together. There's sometimes that you wish you could run the ball a little better, but that also equates to the passing game, and the passing game gets back to drop passes.
Yeah, and effort is a big deal to the extent nobody wants to say, oh, yeah, they're a try-hard football team, but they're still 0-4. I don't mean it in that sense. I mean it in the sense that even though they're 0-4, honest effort, playing to the end, there doesn't seem to be any sign that the players are kind of checking out on anything, that they're fully into this and believing that there is something that they're building toward, A, and B, they're still connected with Pat Shurmur and the whole message of what he's trying to get done.
Unquestionably, I think, Vic, it's a hungry team. And I think Doug makes some very good points, particularly that the drop passes can be just so deflating to a team. And, not only are they drive killers, but then they're going to affect, the quarterback's ability to, either go back to that same receiver again. Obviously, it's going to affect play call. There's a trickle-down effect to those. But, yeah, this team is playing hard. And I think that's a credit to this coaching staff, but I think it's also a credit to these guys out here who are working their butts off.
And it's interesting that there's been a lot of, as Doug mentioned about Josh Gordon, a lot of conversation that he's having this great week of practice. It's jumping out at everybody for whatever reason other than, we saw him flash in training camp, but to hear that, especially leading up to a game like this, it's a positive, but you also look at it and say, hey, these guys have been looking for signs themselves of what this guy can do.
Well, you know, in talking to Brad Childress, not just this week, but about 3 weeks ago, you know, he made a point to me that, you know, Gordon was really behind it when he got here, you know, having not played last year, dropping in camp, no OTAs, here's your playbook, kid, you know, learn these plays and not only act like a pro on the field, but be one off the field as well. So he's had a lot thrown at him at once, and it's about time that he starts kicking it in, and he is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the good thing would be if he had success, it might put a little more pressure on 15 to catch up. Because, you know, it's like the Ataba Rubin. You know, the way he plays, I think, helps everybody else. Because you see Ataba Rubin play, you know, you're going to be embarrassed if you're not hustling.
No, that's such a great point. It's the Roundtable. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. We have Tom Withers from the Associated Press here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Okay, task at hand, the New York Giants. And they look obviously like, even though they come off a loss, and they've maybe it's been a little wobbly, they're still the defending champs. They look like they're in contention very much, and they've got injuries too, and who doesn't, I guess, this time of year. But I guess the first place I'm looking at with this team is how do the Browns defense, how does it handle in a secondary that we know doesn't have Joe Hayden. Getting, I guess, T.J. Ward back is a plus. So how does this equate to what this team needs to do to contain or not get shredded by Eli Manning?
Well, I think the first order of business is to get pressure on Eli Manning.
Yeah.
You know, this Giant team really attacks down the field, and Manning is, you know, he's the one that makes it go. They're going to be without Hakeem Nicks again this week, which is, you know, a nice bonus for the banged-up secondary that the Browns have. T.J. Ward's going to be playing with a badly broken thumb this week. He told us earlier today that he's got 9 screws in there, so he's going to give it a go. And obviously, they're still missing Joe Hayden. I mean, it was very obvious last week when Bolden had the big second half how much he has missed. So I think the first order of business is to get pressure on Eli Manning, and as Doug mentioned before, with this rotation that's showing more and more depth every week, they should be able to.
Yeah.
Well, and their offensive line has had some changes, too. I mean, he doesn't have the best protection in the world over there. They've got some injuries on their team in the secondary. They've, you know, got some injuries. He mentioned Nicks not playing. You know, the Giants didn't run the ball real well last year. In fact, they were last in the league.
Yeah.
And those numbers aren't the greatest right this year. And you got to believe that, you know, Tom Coughlin, you know, wants to establish that. But, you know, you also want wins, so where are you going to attack? I think you'd see them attack the secondary.
Yeah, and it has to start with the pressure, but the guys in the back end have to do their job and have to be extraordinary. When you don't have Joe Hayden there, that doesn't mean, well, we're going to be a little less. No, they actually have to elevate, and we have to be writing about or talking about on Sunday guys who've really stepped up.
Yeah, and I think there's been a growing confidence with these young linebackers as well. I mean, you saw some real nice plays, you know, out of Robertson last week, so I think that's a positive. I think sometimes, too, we forget that this defense is missing, arguably, 3 of its top 5 players. I think everybody kind of forgot about Chris Gokong because the injury happened so long ago.
Right.
And not having a Phil Taylor and not having a Joe Hayden, it's been pretty impressive what they've been able to do.
And it'd be nice if we did talk about these young linebackers rather than, you know, whether or not the coach watched Cleveland 95. You know, it's amazing, I guess, you know, sometimes things get sidetracked. And it was perceived somewhat of a, you know, didn't care. And it's totally the opposite because, you know, we had the Legends Party a couple weeks ago on Friday after the golf tournament. And Pat Sherburn came in the house and met every guy that was an alumni there because, you know, he respects the game. But somehow it got blown out of proportion, I think, you know, by what was said. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure going on. And I understand, you know, if I'm a player, I want the coach to say, you know, I'm not watching, you know, some movie. I'm focused because that's the message you're trying to give
your
players.
I'll catch it on DVD. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
I thought his answer the other day was perfect, was that I'm more concerned about the 2012 Cleveland Browns. That's where his focus needs to be.
Yeah, we know what that whole documentary was, and is powerful stuff and great fodder for discussion. But frankly, the head coach of this football team, the only tape I really want him watching pertains to the Giants game this week.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to do a travelogue of New York City before we go there? I mean, you know, let's be real. This guy, you know, he's 0-4. He's got pressure on him. He's focused on it. That's what he's trying to get the message to his team.
Now, Trent Richardson talked about earlier this week with the New York media that he could see the success running the football. This was they do the conference call.
Yeah.
And watching LaShawn McCoy have that huge second half against the Giants last week. You get the sense that there should be some confidence that the Browns running game can have success.
Yeah, but as Doug said before, the passing game is going to probably dictate that. I mean, you're going to have to move the ball down the field in other ways, and then you're going to start seeing maybe some seams, and you're going to have to start seeing, in my opinion, these guards do a little bit better of a job getting out in space and clearing out some people on the outside for him. I mean, Doug knows a lot more about the schemes than I do, but I think it's about getting Richardson around the corner, outside in space, and letting him go.
Well, you know, and as an offensive lineman, you know, a lot of times you'd like to take wider splits. But, you know, with some of the defensive linemen that they have, you know, Pierre, you know, they kick him down inside. And then all of a sudden, when you do that, if you audible to a pass, then you got to play in space a little bit more.
Sure.
So, you know, if they can get the passing game, and I think, you know, you look at their linebackers, I don't think that's a big strength of their team.
No,
right
other
now.
Than like a Chase Blackburn.
Not anymore,
I mean, that's not a all-star group.
So if you can, you know, exploit the middle level of that defense, which, you know, helps your protection because you're not holding on to the ball that long, then all of a sudden you make some plays there, and I think the running game will, you know, will follow in.
And I really think, you know, with the job Whedon did against that Baltimore pass rush a couple weeks ago, that's got to be a confidence builder for him and for that offensive line. I thought he did a nice job of, you know, stepping up in the pocket, climbing the ladder, if you will, and giving those tackles a little bit more time to hold their blocks.
I really thought in the latter part of that game, that Baltimore game, that Brandon Whedon, there, something was clicking from a confidence standpoint. All of a sudden, he wasn't out there just looking to make – like detached plays, like a big play here or a big play there, that everything had a rhyme and reason.
Yeah.
And there was a purpose to it.
Well, but you don't want to get misconstrued, because all of a sudden they don't have Terrell Suggs. And that's the guy that,
that's,
you know,
is sure.
the heat. Now, these guys got three Terrell Suggs. They got O.C., they got
Justin Tuck.
I mean, they've got a good pass rush. So the number one thing is you want to keep yourself in the ball game. You don't want to get down by two touchdowns.
No, you can't. And that's this team, if there is, we started this discussion off about identity and so forth. The identity has been battling out of a hole, and that's really not what you want. I mean, it's been admirable. But it doesn't. I don't think it's going to lead to a lot of success. All right, great stuff on this roundtable. Thank you so much, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. We have got much more coming up for you. A conversation with linebacker Scott Fujita is next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.